Curtis.
Hi, Curtis.
Hi, how are you? I don't know if you can see me or not.
You can't.
I can see you.
We see a picture of you.
Oh, you can see a picture of me.
Yes.
All right. Well, I may have to.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. It's perfect for me.
Okay. Well, I may have to just go audio here, but we just installed a whole new Zoom program, so that's trying to figure out this thing, but I was thinking that it might be working this morning. But nevertheless, you can't see me, but I'm here in spirit, and I want to get down to business and discuss the things that you want to discuss. And Nicole was so kind to send me a very nice email the other day about some of the topics you wanted to discuss. So the first thing is Happy New Year, and I hope you all got through 2020 just fine. And, of course, what happens in this business is you're trying to finish up a year and get another one cranked up, and so there's no off season. So, you know, I empathize with what you do during this particular time of year. So let's, first of all, before we get into the two items I know that you wanted to get to, is there anything else on your mind regarding, you know, what you're going through or questions that you may have that you think I need to address? You don't think so? Okay. All right. Well, look, then let's go into the two issues on the table. One is moving accounts into joint and formalizing the team structure. So let's start with the team structure, you know, for a moment. Have you all... you know, made the conscious decision now that you are a team?
Yes.
We have made team name.
Okay.
We're waiting for
approval
of the team name. And once we have the team name, we're going to move our whole books into a, not a full split, I would call it, but into a small split, which allows us to have the team.
Okay. Now, have you put together a team agreement at this point?
No, we have not.
Okay. Well, so part of formalizing... What's that now?
The team that we're having, to just explain... We currently have an FC number that is split between Mijanu, Amir, and I. And the new FC number that we're establishing is what, 98.2 and a fraction? Is that it, Mijanu?
99-1 each.
99-1.
Okay, 99-1, so that's the full Mijanu number, right?
Yeah, that's so just that's- to get... through the requirements of Morgan Stanley, because as you probably already know, it's a chicken and egg situation. We can't really do anything. We can't even sign an agreement with the firm until we have these shared assets.
Right. So what you have then is...
Yes.
So you're creating a pool.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So you're creating the pool, which is kind of the one of the first steps. I think you've got to have a team agreement, and I think one of the things that we should do on this particular call is really talk about the elements of a team agreement.
Okay.
And I had... actually, in the book I wrote called Supernova Advisor Teams, I devoted a chapter to that subject. It starts on page 99. It's called Team Contract and Agreements. And I started off with a quote, unless both sides win, no agreement can be permanent. And that was Jimmy Carter who said that. But let's look at the key elements of your team agreement. And so you should take some notes on this. Well, this is being recorded anyway. You should have, you should make a decision, and stop me if I go too fast. You should have the first bullet is compensation and splits. You should agree on what the compensation levels are and how revenues are going to be split among team members. Second bullet, delegation of duties and responsibilities. Who is going to do what on the team? Have that spelled out and entered into the team agreement. Now, we have discussed that, and if there's any questions on who does what on the team, let me know and we can, you know, spend a little more time talking about that. The third bullet is provisions in the event of a team breakup. What happens if you all get mad at each other? Now, that's extreme, provisions in the event of a team breakup, but there should be a provision for how you're going to arbitrate what I call team disagreements, okay? That you're going to stop, you're going to talk among yourselves, come to some kind of semblance of how you move forward, or you're going to maybe get a manager involved, okay? So there should be, you know, kind of a provision of how you're going to rationalize, you know, disagreements. The next thing is there should be any provisions for onboarding an additional team member or slash family member, okay? I don't think family member applies, but, you know, in the future, you may very well onboard another team member, okay? Meaning that maybe one of the people that is on the team kind of gets elevated from their current role onto a junior associate role. So you need a provision for that. You need a provision for the retirement of a team member. Now, you know, Morgan Stanley already has kind of a structure for buyout. Time frames have to be identified, so on and so forth. So you need to have a provision for the retirement of a team member. Okay. Next is there should be a provision for the sharing of team expenses and for budget overruns. Do that in advance so everybody's on the same page, on the same table in terms of team expenses. Is it going to be 50-50, 60-40? How is the sharing of team expenses going to occur? Okay. And what if there's an expense that you didn't think of that has come up, and how's that going to be paid? That's what I call budget overruns. Then there should be a provision for the resolution of you know, conflicts, which we talked about, and who's going to be the final arbiter for any conflicts that might occur on the team. You know, you can always call on me and I'll render an opinion, but, you know, who's going to be the final arbiter in the case that, you know, two team members have a disagreement. How will team decisions be made? You know, are they, is there going to be one person or is it going to be two people that are going to be engaged in team decisions? It could be decisions regarding marketing, approach, investment process, all of that. How are team decisions going to be made? Okay, then the next item is, what does it take if there's an unequal split on the team? What will it take for a team member to reach parity in compensation in the event of uneven splits? Okay. Now, those are your basic kinds of things that should be elements in your team agreement. And you should speak with the compliance department and determine what contract templates might be available. Let me stop right there and answer any questions.
You gave us a lot of things that we need to look into, and hopefully with the Morgan Stanley professionals that work on this stuff with our management, hopefully they can give us guidance into, you gave many things that we need to look, that we need to look at.
You know, it's like the team prenuptial agreement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these things are important. And I know sometimes in our quest to, you know, move the team forward, these are some things that that aren't sure really looked at carefully, but nevertheless are very, very important.
It's much easier to get them done before than to have to deal with them after the fact. We understand.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, are there any of these bullets that you would like me to cover in a little more depth? And I'm happy to do that. I don't know if you
have this book to flip all these things.
We haven't. Cole and I keep intending to buy the book, and I keep forgetting.
Okay.
So what happened? I have one quick question, which I think is maybe a quick answer, but is there any reason why you wouldn't use the team split, the production split percentages for the expense percentages?
Okay. Yeah, you can do it. You can do it that way. So, for example, if the but you know, you have to talk about it. I mean, look, if there's a 50-50 team split, then that's kind of easy. But if there's a split that or an expense that maybe favors one team member over another, then, you know, maybe it's going to be split 60-40. But that's a decision that you have to make. You know, for example, if we were going to do supplemental compensation for a team member, and let's say you're at 50-50 and one team member says, you know, I want to bonus someone $10,000, and another team member says, yeah, let's just split that right down the middle, 50-50. But another team member says, well, you know, since you are doing more production, let's do that split 60-40. So you need to, you know, you need to come to an agreement as to how these expenses are going to be split.
Or if one team member is traveling more to visit more prospects.
Exactly.
The other.
Exactly.
All right.
Then you need to have an agreement that the one that is more out there front and center, who needs a little bit more in expenses that need to be covered, then you need to talk about that. Okay.
So that, this list you just pulled off, so this is available in your book that we're going to buy, or did Nicole actually, were you able to write all of them down?
I wrote down the points, but we're planning to get the book.
Okay. But the call is being recorded anyway, so no worries. What I do with each of the bullets is, I go into just a little bit more depth under each one. For example, on compensation and team splits, each team member should bring verifiable documents that indicate each team member's business performance so that there's no guessing, everything is up front, and that you use that as a baseline for determining current revenue splits and future revenue splits. And remember, you know, not all revenue or production is equal, okay? So, you know, higher margin business like lending and some of the others, you know, you have to consider that versus transactional business, okay? And I use, I give a couple of examples of that, and that's one. I'll go through a couple of these scenarios, if you like. So delegation of duties and responsibilities and the decision-making process. So the key area to consider here is how the team will invest a percentage of its revenues back into the business. So the team can consider such items as supplemental compensation for additional administrative support, sales and marketing expenses for client acquisition, special events, and seminars. So, you know, that's one of the things that you might think about, right? Then we get in, and please feel free to interrupt me. So then we get into the provisions in the event of a team breakup. And obviously we don't want that to happen. But the question here is, how will assets, households, and the budgetary issues be handled if this team decides to disband or get a divorce? Is it going to be based on the percentage ownership or revenue responsibility for each team member? And is it going to be based on who's the relationship manager for a certain household? So, for example, if a household that consists of Mary and Sam is Mijanoo, but Joe has done some fixed income business with them, then does that household go to Mijanoo because she's the key relationship manager? So that's how you want to, you know, kind of engineer that. But in any event, the team must sit down and discuss the breakup and make the determination. And if a conflict emerges, how will the conflict be resolved? So that is one of the elements, again, of the team agreement. Onboarding a new team member. And, you know, I always say that, even though you're maybe not there today, the time will come when, you know, you may want to consider you know, the functionality of another person on the team. I'm working with a Morgan Stanley team in Ohio, and this is a vertical team. Primary producer, junior associate, and a CA. Now, they have a virtual partner in Florida that they work with. He handles all the investment business. But this team now is considering, I really need a CPA financial planner type person to come on to the team. So now they've got to, you know, think about how do they onboard a new team member. So because it's a vertical team, the lead producer just makes the decision. But, you know, he wants to, you know, include the junior associate in the decision-making process so you don't alienate the junior associate or partner. So that's how you would, that's the reason why you want to have that. Now, the provisions for the retirement of a team member, you know, I don't know, is somebody going to retire in 4 years or 5 years, or are you guys going to work together forever? Joe's going to work forever? No.
No.
So, okay. So,
actually,
so
yeah.
What do you have?
Joe probably is going to work forever.
Okay. So, is there a provision, according to, you know, Morgan Stanley's policy, that leads to the buyout of that team member, and how it should take place, and over what time frame?
Can I interrupt you there?
Yeah, sure.
I have been involved with other teams, you know, various reasons, where in hindsight it seemed that there were members of the team that really wanted to continue to work, but have more free time, you know?
Right.
And it seemed
right.
Very black and white how things were going to be, because, you know, the team leader was the team leader, and the team leader felt like they were the leader, therefore they should always just be the leader and be the largest producer and not share over time as they kind of stepped down in their responsibilities, but expected the rest of the team to continue to grow the assets and manage the money. So
right.
how do you kind of, you know, because let's say Joe and I decide we want this to continue on, but we don't always want to be the heavy lifters.
Right. And plus, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you start thinking, okay, one team member, let's call him Joe, decides, look, I want to scale back to 4 days a week and still be a relationship manager and make sure that the relationships are wedded to the team. So that's got to be kind of a key area of responsibility. Then the next thing is Joe decides, well, look, let's see if I can't transition down to maybe 3 days a week. And I've got a 2-year time frame where I continue to get paid. And then I continue to get paid for that period of time. I retire. And I continue to receive some compensation for the next 2 years. A lot of agreements are like that, and they're based on firm policy. So you have to use that as an overlay when you kind of think about the provision for buyout of a team member.
But I guess I'm not really talking about, you know, real retirement. I'm just saying you know,
scaling back.
Is there a, in your book, or is there, because there's a couple of different things working here. I mean, if you have somebody like Amir who's going to hope, like you said, to reach parity at some point.
Right.
And how you figure that. And then also, you know, at some point, then maybe the senior producers kind of take steps back, you know, in their efforts.
Right.
But still, I mean, having built it, get revenues, that makes sense. Is there,
sure.
Have that in your plan, in your agreement? Or is
no,
that
I mean, we, going yeah, we don't, we talk in broad terms. We don't tell you specifically what you should do. We just tell you that you need to give that some thought and kind of figure it out. Okay. We don't give you the necessarily the answer. But we want the team to come together and decide on what that answer should be.
Okay.
So don't buy the book. If you're just trying to, you know, you're not going to get all the permutations and answers by just buying the book.
Okay. And then the other question that I have is, who do you generally think should be kind of the person that's delegated to settle disagreements on the team? Because you said, who is going to be the team
member? You know, when I ran branches, I was the arbitrator. When it was things that were relatively easy, they first went to the admin manager. And then if they weren't resolved there, then they were resolved by me.
That would be Nick Trelange, who we both have respect for. That is a good resource that would be found, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you can put one or two people in there to help you arbitrate the decisions.
And much like going to a doctor on an annual basis for a physical, a lot of these questions we can be addressing in the future in a year or two as the relationship grows, as the team grows. We can be addressing these. We could be addressing these because either we need to or are now understanding how things work better. And right.
Right. I just didn't want you to walk into a situation. Then you have the disagreement and now you're trying to figure out you're in there. There's ill will starting to form and, the team breaks up and there's no discussion with the arbitrator. And when you have it inside your agreement, you're saying, okay, we've got a difference of opinion here. Let's go to our final arbiter and we're going to live with the decision and then move on. No ill will, no hard feelings. We're going to live with the decision. Make sense?
Yeah.
Of course it makes sense.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. So, again, I think we covered the sharing of team expenses and budget overruns. So if you've got one team member doing 60% of revenue and another doing 40, when it comes time for sharing team expenses, are you going to share them on a 60-40 basis or are you going to share team expenses equally? You know, what are going to be the guidelines that you're going to cover? And again, I said that not all revenue streams are necessarily equal. Okay. The provision for the resolution of conflicts. Again, you know, who's going to be the final arbiter in this? You know, what you're doing in advance is agreeing that if a conflict dispute should arise that can't be resolved by the team, then you have a process in place for the resolution of the conflict. You know, I was in a scenario over the holidays with a team that, you know, if I didn't step in, they could literally break up. One team member, you know, felt that he deserved to have a higher percentage of the cut. And, you know, that wasn't going to work. It left the other team members feeling that their value or that they were undervalued. This team member finally agreed that, well, and he was getting the second highest split on the team. And he just wanted an extra 1%. And I had to simply state that, look, if we grow our business by X amount, then your 1% split is de minimis. It doesn't matter. And for the sanctity of the team, you know, let's try to back off on that. And he agreed that, yeah, you're right. I really don't need to do that if we grow the business. The real conflict was about how each team member was treating each other.
Right.
And so we needed to resolve that. Okay. So that's where these things come up. And if there's provisions, then it tends to work out. How will team decisions be made? And that's why I've been a big proponent on creating the business plan and strategy document right away, because that takes care of, you know, 80% of decision making. It's about communication, making decisions, and determining if the values and the purposes are aligned, like the team vision, your mission. You know, all those things are in alignment. And that's why that exercise is so important to go through. And then you need to decide again, what does it take for a team member to reach parity in managing the uneven revenue splits? And sometimes they'll never reach parity. But, you know, what is it going to take for one team member that's got, let's say, a 15% you know, split, what is it going to take them to get to 16 or 18 or 20? What's it going to take? What's that?
Somebody retiring on the team.
Oh, retirement. Okay, I got it.
I mean, Joe's been with the firm for 35 plus years. I've been, you know, 22 plus years, and eventually, sure, we're not going to be here.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So, and when Joe does decide to retire, and let's say we got Joe down to a manageable level of 85 relationships, and he's able to maintain that, but now all of a sudden you've got 85 relationships, and to really continue to perform in Supernova, where are those relationships going? Because remember, the maximum number of relationships per team member is like 100, and that's overwhelming. Okay. All right. Any questions on that part of formalizing the team structure?
Yes. So we are already, you know, we're doing our registrations and everything, and we are discussing with clients that maybe don't know about the other members, some of the other members of the team already. We're in that process. We're polishing our bios so we can send them to the people. And then our plan is so that we can get this ball rolling to take all of our own accounts and put them into these 99-to-1 splits so that we can actually move forward, formalize a team, get a brochure, and also. So So, I mean, one thing that I was concerned about was the process of doing that, because I feel like there are, and Joe and I just talked about it, and there are some clients that have to be, you know, kind of gently put in that new box because they get fearful of what's going to happen. Why are you, you know, I already had one person say to me, why, where are you going?
Right.
or, you know, are you stepping down, or, you know, I mean, as much as they've been through with me, you would think that they would realize I'm not going anywhere, but, okay, concern. And so do we have to do this, you know, formal team agreement before we are doing this process that we're doing, in your opinion, or can we continue doing what we're doing like we would like to do? Because I think we're all excited and anxious to get moving. That's one part of the question. And the other one is, do you have a recommendation on that? Should we have conversations, send a letter of some sort with our bios? You know, is there anything that kind of is good practice?
Yes. Okay. So here's the big advantage that you have, right? The big advantage that you have now is that the clients will start to get the impression that this is a very cohesive team with expertise and leverage that you didn't have before. And so the clients are now getting the concierge practice. They're getting the level of contact and service. And they're like getting, you know, three team members for the price of one. At least that's in the mind of the client. And so that has to get out in terms of your letter. There's a scripted several scripted introductory letters in the Supernova guidebook, and or you can use those as part of a letter that goes out. And I'm also in favor with very substantial clients. That you have a Zoom call to introduce the team. And what you would do, Mijanu, is, you know, you'd start off with some introductory comments. Thank you for joining us. We wanted to introduce you to the team. The first thing that we want to tell you is how we intend to really provide more service and our service model and our vision. And my specific responsibilities on the team are, and now let me introduce you to Joe Friedman. And then Joe goes in and he makes his pitch and talks about what he does. And so does Nicole and Denora and Amir. So that will work beautifully. Do that with your COIs. Do it with your clients so that when they call in, they see it's one team, one purpose, and that's to help me. Okay? And you can tell them that, look, I will still, I am still the key relationship manager for your household. But there are times when I call on Amir, and Joe, for the expertise that they bring to the table. And each of these team members does the same thing. How's that sound?
I think doing a Zoom video with our important clients is a nice idea. We can do a, you know, two, three, maybe a night, and kind of get them done. I do think that sending a letter out saying that we have that you will notice on your statement now that we have formed a team. We are LaGore's team, and we maybe say what LaGore's in Miami and the team members are, and then whether or not we put on that what each of the roles are, or kind of say that verbally, you tell us.
Yeah. And then you've got your fancy brochure. The team maybe taking a photo in front of the office with the Merrill Lynch, or not Merrill Lynch, but the Morgan Stanley moniker.
Sorry.
Yeah. For the Morgan Stanley moniker out there.
Yeah, exactly. But this is the chicken and the egg problem.
I'm gonna hang up my.
You can't use our name.
I'm gonna hang up my.
Until it's approved, right?
Right.
I'm gonna hang up my phone.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, clearly this is not something we can do until we get approved and we move all of our assets to the 99-1.
Yeah. Let's assume this, that Morgan Stanley wants to create more teams. Okay. So, you know, before you begin to make the announcements to the clients, go ahead and start getting some of the work done. You know, get some of the things in place. Have an outline of the elements of your team agreement. And when you get a sample template, just ask the manager if he's got a sample template and that you could look at.
Yeah, and I'm just realizing, Joe, I forgot that we can actually, on your 99, you can have your name only on the statement, and on my 99, I can have my name only. So we can do that part. I'm just realizing they didn't used to have that ability. So your name would come on my statements and mine on yours automatically. But I believe, and maybe Nicole can confirm this, that we can make it so that it only shows the person who's the 99 part. And then once we get the team, then we're the team, and then we have everybody on there. Because then we can
introduce
ourselves. I just don't want to scare any of your clients, and I don't want to scare any of my clients by them getting a statement in the mail with names they may not recognize.
Yeah, and say, who is this? Who is this extra person? Okay, so the moving of accounts into joint is somewhat kind of answered by the pool that you're creating. And,
well, we've already gone through that exercise with Nick and Nicholas and Joe and I, and, you know, so that part and the team person. So we know what our next step is for that.
Okay.
We just are waiting for our registrations to go through.
Right.
But I think before we ask for them to do the big swing, we need to make sure that the statements will read appropriately.
Right.
Because we have to now apply for the name and get that stuff going so that then we can put the name on there and make it formal where we have a brochure and we have, you know.
Yeah. And so, you know, they want you to make sure that nobody else has got that name in you. So they're going to do kind of a meta search to make sure that that doesn't happen. And you'll be on your way. So the basic kind of thing is that the team agreement really creates your structure. So once you get your basic infrastructure, then you begin to start to market the team. And that is marketing the team to your existing clients and your COIs and folks that you're trying to use to help grow your practice. And that's where that brochure, whether it's a trifold or what have you, really comes in handy. Most of that's going to be online. You're going to do that with a link. And you're going to give all your clients a link and an email to your brochure. And if you're using the folder system, then you might include your brochure in the folder that you give to each client.
Yes.
So I will tell you this. Don't let a photograph hold up the team photo. Grab your iPhone or your Samsung phone and get somebody to take a good quality photo. I mean, these things are taking such great pictures now. And I think Morgan Stanley has a template for the team brochure.
Yes. I
need to check on that.
That's a plug and play thing.
Yeah, plug and play. And then you're ready to go. Okay, so what other questions do you have? You have questions, Nicole? How's all this sounding to you?
I don't have any questions right now. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Joe, how about you?
I'm okay. Working on getting to where we need to get to. I think there's a lot of logistics moving parts.
This is exciting. This is so exciting.
I would agree. I would.
Yeah, so exciting. Amir, how about you?
Represents potential.
Yeah. Amir, what are you thinking?
No questions so far. It's ready to go forward.
You're probably thinking, what's my split? No. He's back there. He's thinking, okay, what's my split? How do I get to parity? Okay. All right. Mijanu, any more questions? Did I kind of address the things you wanted to address?
Yes, I hope I didn't take over too much, but.
No, but this is the important stuff. This is good. I will tell you, I have had the pleasure of forming a lot of teams and in my career, and so much of it I learned that I put in this book was from trial and error. So this is going to keep you from having to go through that trial and error process and get off to a great start. So I'm happy to do this with you. Okay. Now, before we close, let's see, Denora, is she on?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, well, tell me, Denora, you got any questions, any thoughts about this team that's being formed?
I don't have questions right now regarding what we covered, but I am really excited that we're going forward, so really looking forward to it.
All right. I didn't go too fast, did I?
Nope. You did great.
Okay. All right. What would you all, I appreciate Nicole giving me the topics that you wanted to cover today. Think about the things that you might want to talk about on our next call, and I will certainly go to them. I appreciate you giving me a heads up on what you wanted to cover today.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Well, look, let's end this call, and again, Happy New Year, and next time, let's spend a little time on accountability and see how we're moving forward on the next steps. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
You take care.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.